I think it was really notable that you met with a lot of African Americans that live in rural Missouri, because there is a pretty large African American community in rural Missouri, and they're often like forgotten by a lot of politicians. And I would assume that because of the legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, discrimination, all those things, they may be at a bigger disadvantage than some of the white residents that you met as well. Is there anything that you think the federal government can do to uplift the African Americans that live in rural Missouri, especially ones that you met? And did they have any particular ideas that you think are notable when you go back to DC?
You know, it's a great question and a pressing one, and I hope the answer is yes. I mean, we need to devise policies that are going to work for all Missourians and all working people. And let me just take that opportunity to say this, Jason. I think it's so important. I've noticed recently that some of the self-appointed intelligentsia in D.C. and New York, some of the commentariat, if you like, have started saying that phrases like working class and working people is just code for white, or is code for white nationalism or something. That, I think, is a very dangerous, dangerous lie, because it is a lie. Working people are black and white and brown and everything in between, and rural America and rural Missouri, that doesn't just mean white. That means white, that means black, that means brown, and you know, we live together, and we're trying to make a life together, and frankly, sometimes we're struggling together, and we're struggling to be right by each other as we go along. So I think it's complicated. It's sometimes messy, but it's also wonderful, and it's the story of our state. So I think it's very important that when we talk about working Missourians, that we understand that includes a lot of folks who are living together and trying to make a life together. You know, something that the folks at Nick's Barbershop in Malden, and then met some folks from Clarkston as well, said to me in that vein is, first of all, the importance of education. And also having the opportunity, Jason, to get some skills training and some vocational training. And the folks in the barbershop I talked to, only one gentleman had gone on to a traditional four-year college. Everybody else, if they had finished high school, most of them don't have any formal education beyond high school. Now, that's fine. But all of them said to me, you know, when it comes to getting a job and you play what they call the resume game, so many employers, they felt like, I'm just reporting what they say, what they felt like is employers look and they say, well, you don't have, where are your credentials? I mean, you don't have, you know, I don't see any credentials on here. And so therefore they felt like they were at a disadvantage. If they could get some vocational training, if they could get some skills training, that would make a huge difference. It would make a huge difference to everybody, white, black, everybody, but I think particularly for folks from historically disadvantaged communities. The ability to get some training that doesn't involve huge amount of debt, doesn't involve having to go to an expensive college if they don't want to go to, is really, really significant. And I think then the drug issues, you know, I heard that from so many members of that community, the African American community I talked to, just about how drugs are just, they are everywhere, and they are devastating, and they are just a toxin in all of these communities, white and black. And we have got to not only think more about how we stop the flow of drugs from Mexico into our state, because that's mostly where they're coming from, but also how we get rehab programs, how we improve access to rural health care. I think it's really vital.